The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 96 of Wealth Talk. My name's Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you again on episode 96.
Here we are, and it's another month, which means another spotlight on one of our members who has been in our Seven Steps to Wealth program. And today we've chosen to focus on Sam White. And Sam is one of our founder members who joined back in May 2019. And I think it's really clear from the beginning when we met Sam, Kevin, that he's a guy who sets pretty high goals for himself and almost always achieves them. And he talks today about setting a goal of achieving financial independence, and he's pretty much on his way towards hitting that one as well.
Yeah, but in a strange way, you know, Sam is a bit of a maverick. You can tell that, you know, a sort of a high flyer, literally somebody who loves, you know, the finer things in life in many ways, and fair enough for that. But I think he came to the program. Sort of, and it's a good one to focus on, Chris. I think you chose well, because he sort of did things slightly out of sync, which is great because it shows that the program has validity and can create value wherever you are, wherever your starting point in the journey. And as you hear Sam talk about what he does and the occasional wry comment about, I'm going to be told off by Kevin, is interesting, isn't it, when grown people think of me as the headmaster. It's a bit of an odd one. But yeah, he does eventually start to sort of reconfigure himself in the way that we teach. And I think he's now a really great case study to show that he's made some changes along the way.
Yeah. And I guess we must remember as well, Kevin, when we launched the foundation program, we didn't have such a clear 9-step roadmap as we do today. And of course, we're going to be talking through that as I speak to Sam. So if you don't yet have a copy of the roadmap, do head on over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/roadmap, and you can download that and have a look at that as you listen to our interview with Sam White today. Sam, welcome to Wealth Talk.
Hi, Christian. Thanks very much for having me on.
No, you're very welcome. And we're shining the spotlight on you this month. And you are one of our founder members. So joined back in May 2019, I think it was.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Indeed.
Good. So you've been making some really good progress, Sam. And it'd be great to hear your journey. And what we're going to do, we're just going to kind of walk through our roadmap that we teach in the Seven Steps to Wealth program. Just go through steps and kind of see how things have worked out for you and share some of those lessons with our listeners.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
So step one is obviously the mindset step. So it's really getting clear on your why. So was there a particular catalyst or a point that you can remember back to, Sam, where you said to yourself, I've just got to take control and do something about my wealth?
Not so much take control, because I always thought life was more about, there's more to life than working for money. But I'd set myself up fairly well already. Life was pretty cool. I had a job that I loved. I had a good lifestyle. It was more a case of, I wonder what I'm capable of, rather than a catalyst to sort of get involved. And I realized that most things I'd really set my mind to in life, I'd achieved. And I don't mean that to sound braggy. It's just I really set my mind to, really committed myself to. I'd achieved all of those. And my main job was as an airline pilot, and I was flying back one day from South Africa, sort of 35,000 feet, middle of the night over Africa. And I sat down, I thought, you know what, I have achieved everything I've really set my mind to. I wonder what would happen if I set my mind to becoming, for the want of the better word, rich at that point. And I've now worked out that's not really what I meant. I meant sort of more financially free. So that was the sort of catalyst, was really how I could push myself and how the hell do you go about doing that, as opposed to a real particular reason for the change.
Mm. And can you remember back then, you know, how you first came across Wealth Builders and what was it that made you decide to join the program?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I found that it was a really lonely path once I'd set that goal, I couldn't really talk to anyone about it because everyone I spoke to would look at me in a really odd manner. And I very quickly learned I couldn't speak to many people, no one down the pub. And even the sort of the high earners, the guys I was sat next to in the flight deck of aircraft, they're high earning, they're tax dodging, they live abroad, should I say. They own Ferraris, these guys. And yet I'd turn around and sort of have a conversation about the fact that I wanted to push myself and become financially free. They'd look at me and they'd sort of look at me really oddly and say, well, money's the root of all evil and the debt's a really bad thing. And I couldn't understand why even these guys that have money or that have PAYE money still saw someone striving to become financially free as almost a bad thing. So I wanted to really get with a community that had similar aspirations and similar goals so I could share my journey with those people and have peers to talk to. And that sort of led me into Wealth Builders.
Yeah, great. So it's clear, I think, you know, since we first met you, Sam, that, you know, you have a strong mindset. And you said, obviously, when you set a goal, you know, you often do achieve it. So then the next step is really getting clear on, you know, what is that gap between where you are and where you want to get to? And we call that obviously the wealth gap. And it's all about the five levels of wealth. So when you joined, Sam, which level were you at and kind of where are you now?
Oh, well, I was quite fortunate. I was financially secure when I came to Wealth Builders. That doesn't mean to say I've had an easy journey before that. But when I actually came to Wealth Builders, I was fairly secure by adjusting my spending accordingly, by driving old cars, etc. I could afford my lifestyle if my job was lost. But since then, my lifestyle has got slightly better, as you can imagine. I really enjoy sailing and racing yachts, so that's quite an expensive hobby to have. So although I started financially secure, I'm still financially secure, so I haven't really jumped up through the levels. My expectations, I suppose, have increased. My final numbers of what I would class as being financially free are probably quite high. But in truth, I haven't moved through the levels as such. But there's personal reasons for that. When I joined Wealth Builders, I was just starting out quite a large commercial to residential development project. So all my money was going into that, and there was never going to be any return until the end. So my thermometer was never going to go up until the end of the project. We're just kind of coming to the end of that. That's the project's finished. I haven't had my cash back out, but the project is finished. So in a way, I've increased my potential monthly asset income without actually really increasing my asset income. And what I mean by that is when the next run of funding comes through, then I've got the capacity to be able to go out if I wanted to and just buy vanilla buy-to-lets. And that would sort of probably take me into financial freedom where I want to be.
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay, so the final step in the foundation phase is step three, which is about the foundational element, which we call debit. So that's just really just reviewing and taking stock of the money that's going out of your life and just seeing if you can, you know, look at that and reallocate it. And the other aspect is the roof, Sam, which is about protection of assets. So did you move through that and did you have any observations in that area?
Yeah, I'm going to get a phone call from Kevin after this telling me off. In honesty, I came into Wealth Builders again with a fairly good understanding of what I needed. I didn't have the structure that you guys had given me, but I had fairly good understanding. So my debits process had been done. It wasn't called a debits process. It was just called, I didn't want loads of baggage in my financial life. So I'd got rid of a lot of that baggage. And then there's other things, you know, I spend a lot of money on boats and surfboards and skateboards and windsurfing and all the rest of it. And I probably wouldn't change that, even if it was highlighted how much I would do spend on it. So I didn't go through it as diligently as I potentially should have done, but that's potentially a reflection of where I was when I found Wealth Builders, as opposed to the process. It is a great process and it needs doing, but I think I was kind of already there when I joined.
Yeah. Okay, so the foundation is in place, Sam, and then we move into phase two. That's all about building knowledge and obviously specifically around the assets that are available to build wealth. So step four is assets. So which did you already have some experience with when you joined, and which other pillars have you been able to utilize since?
Property. Property had been my pillar long before I referred to it as a pillar. I'd kind of been playing around with property since about 2006. I bought my first place as 100% buy-to-let mortgage, having just got secured my first proper airline job. So I've been in property and had quite a good knowledge of property. In more recent years, but again, before finding Wealth Builders, I already had a SaaS. I used it to lend, and I'd also used it for loan backs. So the SaaS area was ticked, but again, to do with property. And then home capacity wise, we're lucky enough to live in the Isle of Wight. It's a beautiful place and we get lots of visitors. So using that, we set up a holiday let on the side of the house. So the home capacity, I guess, was already ticked as well before I sort of came in to Wealth Builder. So that's what I really had experience on. So a few of the different pillars, but all really pointing towards property. And again, JVs that I've done in the past were property related.
Mm. You mentioned the Isle of Wight. We're actually recording this with video as well. So anyone listening to the podcast on audio, definitely do head to the Wealth Builders website or Facebook group. And you've got the sea in the background, Sam, and it looks idyllic.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I'd always wanted to live by the sea. It's me. I'm a lifestyle person. And then we found a derelict house. So again, because of my experience in property, when I saw a derelict house on the waterfront in the Isle of Wight that needed completely gutting the roof off and a complete rebuild, it didn't faze me. And then I added the bonus of it had an area that I could use as a holiday let. So the mortgage would be covered even if I lost my job. So there's the little things like that. So the real knowledge of property helped me to be able to secure my, you know, lifelong dream of living right on the waterfront. And if you are looking at the videos, you can see I'm on the decking area over the front of the house at the moment in my front garden with the sea around me. And it's really, it's my journey has kind of led me here. And I'm very pleased to be here.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned there a key point of wealth building, which is leverage. So, you know, you found some ways to obviously look at the space and the land around you and use that to greater effect. So, you know, how important is leverage when it comes to wealth building, Sam? And it's not just financial leverage. You can obviously have intellectual leverage, relationships and your time as well.
Hugely important. Absolutely massively important. I can't stress that enough. Leverage is in different forms, as you absolutely rightly say. And I think leverage, first of all, people think about borrowing banks' money and using that, the sort of financial leverage. But really, the people you've got around you can add so much into your journey and really make your journey a lot easier than it is on your own. Now, I'm my own worst nightmare with this. It's been a constant battle for me. As an airline pilot, I'm used to knowing all the different elements. I know the science behind why the aircraft stays in the air. I know how the engines work. I know what my cabin crew are doing. And when you start knowing all the different elements, it's very easy for you to fall into being the person that does it, not on an aircraft, but in property. So I've got a tool belt and I'm normally found with a hammer in my hand on my properties, backing up the tradesman that I've got working for me. Now, that's really something that's been a battle to try and get away from that and be more dynamic and more professional instead of sort of a DIYer, as Kevin would say.
Mm. Okay, so moving into step six then, which is really focusing on a strategy. And we've talked about the property pillar, talked about, you know, the importance of using leverage. So what's been the strategy that's helped you to move up the levels, Sam?
The strategy has been is property. It's all in property and mainly recycling of deposits, getting my money out and being able to start again. There's always a finite amount of money and really making the most of that. And that's being the hard work bit. I think a strategy, again, it's a personal thing. It's different to everybody. But if I spread myself too thin at any point, I don't think I would have been able to accelerate myself through to sort of the next project and rolling on to the one after. So accepting a slower rate of change in my financial life but really making sure that once I've finished that project, I can pull my money back out to be able to use that then on the next one.
Mm. So are we talking kind of buy-to-lets and also some service accommodation?
Sorry, absolutely. So buy-to-let has been the main backbone. And then recently moving into more residential or commercial to residential development. And build to let. I'm not selling at the end, so they are effectively build to let, but repurposing old high street buildings, and that's somewhere that I'm moving further and further into. I can really see a huge push towards getting defunct and underutilized high street and commercial buildings up and running again, and filling that gap of accommodation that the country massively needs.
Okay, so we talked about the importance of getting the foundation in place right at the beginning, getting the right mindset, really clear on, you know, what the gap is, and then getting all of the protection in place as well. We've just talked about understanding the seven different ways to build wealth, the use of leverage, and then choosing a strategy. So now we move into phase three of our roadmap. And phase three is really about taking action. It's building assets, it's the implementation. And step seven is focus. So this is where we really talk about the importance of following the wheel of wealth within the program, Sam. And that wheel has got five stages. It's firstly, education, then good support, the right connections, doing your due diligence, and then taking guided action. And our wealth coaches are there every month to help you stay laser focused and to turn that wheel. So what benefits, Sam, have you gained from following that process and having that monthly accountability?
Well, starting at the beginning, the educational phase, some of the links that you guys have got and the links, the connections to people, being able to have people suggesting other courses, etc., other ways of bettering your education, has been massively helpful to me. It's led me on to another a lot of educational courses that I've completed, and then at the end of the wheel, so to speak, your accountability and having a coach. Well, the Wealth Buddy groups, I've got a great buddy group. We really push each other forward. I don't think anybody has ever mentioned the word accountability in the buddy group. However, there's never been a need to. You talk to these guys, they're really dynamic. They're all on it. And you don't want to be the one left behind. So, you know, there is that accountability without even the need to spelling out accountability. It's been a really useful process, that. And having the wealth coach as well, I found it quite a lonely journey, the building wealth. And that's what I've always been striving for, is just someone as a sounding board to be able to bounce ideas off. And I think it's immensely powerful to have that person and have that meeting once a month to be able to talk through anything that's bothering you and just have a different take on it, you know, a considered answer, without any gain from them. They're not leading you in any particular direction. And I think that's been massively important.
Yeah. And we were actually on the Q&A session, weren't we, last night with the other members, Sam, and you were sharing on there. And it's just so good to hear what everyone is up to every month and feel like you've got that community and people, you know, supporting one another. And you mentioned it's a lonely journey. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So, yeah, I'm pleased to hear that.
As you say last night, Christian, I was meant to be going off that call and going to another call, an educational call that I've been having on a group another group that's on a Thursday night. And I don't know if you noticed, I left the meeting and went away. And I was watching the other call and I just thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to Wealth Builders, because it felt a little bit like, you know, chicken soup, so to think. It was really comforting to be back in the Wealth Builders at the end of month call. So I came back online. I don't know if you noticed that I appeared back online.
I saw, to
join the rest of the call. Just because it feels like a really natural place for someone who is after that connectivity and sort of a bit of a backup on your journey.
Yeah. Okay, so the wheels are turning, we're cruising now, step eight is results. And, you know, one of the reasons why we kind of highlighted you, Sam, this month as our member spotlight is because you've had a great start to this year. And we encourage all members to track their progress every 30 days using their wealth chart and completing their monthly progress reports. But you've had a good month. So what did you do? And how much has that bumped up your wealth thermometer?
Well, firstly, I remembered to send off my form, clearly, which is amazing in itself. Why did the form stick out? Why, I suppose, did I make a difference to my thermometer? A long time coming. The last two units, a residential unit and a shop of the development I've just completed, they rented. So from a monthly income point of view, I think it was a £1,200 a month boost on the thermometer, which is fantastic. Now, on the grand scale of my aspirations, it's the £1,200 a month wasn't a huge chunk for me personally. However, the really nice thing about it, and I think I mentioned this in the call last night, is I actually used the money for something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. So it made a difference to my life. The £1,200 a month asset income. I wanted a new car. I drive a 20-year-old vehicle, have done for the last 20 years, believe it or not. Well, for the, you know, and it meant that I could actually take those teachings of using a income-producing asset to pay for a luxury. And that's exactly what I did. I that money meant that I could then go on online, look at vehicles available, and now I'm driving around in a 9-month-old vehicle instead of a 20-year-old one. So it actually, it's made a big difference to my life, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. You know, it links right back to step one is the why. You know, yes, there's a financial target, but what's the purpose? You know, it's to live a more enjoyable life, to have more time to do the things that you want to do and spend that time in the way that you want to. So yeah, really, really good to hear that, Sam. Okay, so we are at step nine, and step nine is accelerate your way to independence. And of course, this will take, you know, a different period of time for different people. But what are some of the things, Sam, from everything you've learned that you think are really important now to help you keep moving forwards? And any tips or words of kind of reassurance for people who are perhaps a little bit further back in their journey? What's helped you to get to the point that you're at today?
Yeah, well, the repeating aspect of it, for me, I've got to the point that my path is pretty much set for me. I just need to take step after step on the same path, and I'm pretty confident that I'm going to achieve my goal. So then you can look slightly broader on that and go, well, there's more to it than that. It's the enjoyment factor of being on the path. So that's my biggest focus at the moment, is now maximizing my enjoyment of my journey. And one area that I think that I can do that is by working with other people and making sure that I can give that hand up to others that might be struggling on their journey or just starting out on their journey. With the lessons that I've learned, as you rightly asked, things like it's your journey, you know, it's completely, totally yours and yours alone. So you can't judge your own journey on other people's perceived journey. Because don't forget as well, Facebook and all the social media platforms are only the perception that someone wants you to have, as opposed to the sort of the nitty gritty of someone else's life. So I think it's very easy to try and judge your own progress on somebody else. And that straight away is something that you really need to get over in order to keep enthusiasm for the rest of your own journey. So that's kind of a couple of the tips that I'd say are very important. Keeping focused on yourself, your journey. Your numbers are different to anybody else's, and it doesn't matter what anybody else's is doing. And the perceived success that you think someone else seems to be having is completely irrelevant. It's your journey, and it's about you. And that's for my own journey, that's where I think I can really add value and where I want to add value is my path is pretty well set now. After a lot of hard work, it doesn't come easy, but my path is pretty well set. And I want to enjoy that path more. And to enjoy that path more, I think I want to hook up with people and help them enjoy their journeys as well. And what better platform than Wealth Builders to be doing that?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sam. And we really enjoy having you as one of our members. And I've really enjoyed speaking with you today and hearing your journey. So thanks a lot for sharing with us.
Yeah, likewise, Christian. Really always nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to debriefing that conversation with you, Kevin. But before we do that, let's head on over to Trustpilot, as we do, and pull out one of our latest reviews. And this one's from Andy Labram, who's one of our members. And he says, the best wealth building guidance out there. The guidance and information shared through Wealth Builders is exceptional. It's delivered in a way that's simple to understand and implement, and it's had a hugely positive impact on me and my family's financial future and security.
Does what it says on the tin, Chris.
Yeah. Well, Andy's been another exceptional member, and perhaps we should get Andy on to share his story in the coming weeks and months ahead. So let's regain our focus back onto Sam. And as you said at the beginning, Kevin, Sam perhaps had already got some of those foundational elements in place. And so his focus was on the property pillar, and he'd already obviously had some success in property, but I think he gained value from the structure and now branching on into, you know, new areas of property. And in fact, has just added £1,200 to his thermometer. So that's a really big increase.
Well, you know, £1,200 in one go is pretty spectacular. And I think he said he had money invested in a project, which it's important to recognize that sometimes when you're dealing with bigger projects, not necessarily, you know, the small baby steps that you can take with some strategies where you can be making gains from day one, you have to recognize it's a bit like farming. You know, you have to plant the seeds and then they have to, you sow them when the crop is ready. And in his case, with property, that can take a little bit of time, sort of commercial element to it. And of course, you know, that would have been affected in current economics as well. So great to hear that. And great to hear also that his properties are so spectacularly good in terms of what they look and feel like, you know, very popular, that I think we're now really going to try and help Sam focus much more on moving onwards so he can accelerate and leverage that through dealing with private investors and how to make himself look investable. So rather than him just telling the story on his own and using his own money, he's able to get leverage. And we're making some good progress on that. But some very interesting insights from Sam. As I said, slightly, you know, done in a slightly odd way in the sense that, for example, in the beginning of our Wealth Builder program, we encourage people to start off choosing the name for their family wealth business. We get them to imagine, don't we, Chris, almost they're pioneers of a business, of a recurring income system that they then teach to the next generation. And by reconnecting with their reason why and reconnecting with some family logo, emblem, and motto that sort of resonates and makes sense. And for Sam, that was kind of came at the end, not at the beginning, didn't it?
It did. It did. And Sam's property business initially was called White House Properties, of course, with the Isle of Wight link. But after, you know, a few sessions with you recently, Kevin, you really kind of dug into this area, which we cover back in step one, which is the family wealth business, which is all about the why. It's about the legacy that you're building. And it really got Sam thinking. And he didn't actually mention it in the conversation, but he's rebranded completely to create a family wealth business now, which is Beaufort Harbor, which obviously ties into all the things that are important to him. And he's got a strapline, which is creativity, longevity, and reciprocity. And he told us actually that that's reflective on how he thinks and does business, because he's a dynamo, very creative person, and he builds things to last. So buildings, relationships, and wealth, you know, really believing in that mutual benefit and that win-win. So it was really, really amazing to see that come together.
Yeah. And, you know, we spent some time together saying, look, Sam, this is probably going to add some value to this in the future. And so, you know, creating the logo, which you, you know, imagine is a spectacular lighthouse. But Beaufort is also, for those who are in the know, a wind term. So it's a term that reflects the measurement of wind speed called the Beaufort scale. So when you bring it all together, you know, his love of the sea, his love of sailing, being a shining light, not just in his own area, but for his family, and then a safe harbor, which is, you know, trying to keep not just himself safe, his family safe, but also in due course, his investors safe. You can see how all of this starts to formulate into something that is quite well constructed from the seeds of something at the beginning with just him on his own making decisions. But I think he's now seeing the structure of this being more relevant and something that he can really get behind, Chris. And I think it's starting to fuel a bit of a passion going on there. I think he was quite proud of it.
Well, you mentioned fueling the passion. Obviously, Sam's day job is as a pilot. And he said there that he was surrounded, you know, by high income pilots who, you know, were spending money on these kind of nice things, but actually he couldn't really have a conversation with them about wealth building. And, you know, I think that's pretty common for a lot of people, actually, is that this journey can be a bit lonely and you can have people very close to you that just don't really get it. And that's what attracted him to Wealth Builders, was to be part of a community of like-minded people. And he talked about his buddy group there. And obviously we know who's in his buddy group. And he said a dynamic group of guys. And that's very true. And I think, you know, he's really benefited and enjoyed that connection.
Well, it's true to say, Chris, that as people who are high income employed tend to work in that same circle. And as he said, you know, sharing the flight deck. And if you have a conversation about high income, it's fine. You know, people get to used to the trappings. We know this. This is age-old teaching, isn't it? You know, you the more you earn, the more that you're going to spend money on other things. But the confusion is the liabilities versus asset debate. And I think as Sam is focused on wanting to build assets at the price of maybe not having the, I think he called it a Ferrari. I don't know too many pilots with Ferraris, but hey, you know, maybe they do. And then, you know, the decision to want to focus on that. And for the most part, a high income employed people don't, you know, they kind of see the trappings of the high income, but don't realize there's a massive, massive potential downfall when that high income stops for whatever reason that high income would stop, be it health, be it a change in economic circumstances of their employer, be it, you know, age, it could be all sorts of different things. And then when you start to measure, well, what do you have to fall back on? What's the recurring income to replace that high income? Often the change in fortune, the change in level of income is so dramatic, it can really devastate the lives of those who are earning very high sums of money, which is why we have a number of London and city-based people in the program now, Chris, you know, including actually, if we think about the testimony from Andy, who is an ex-police officer, making a transition from being in the police force to being, you know, a wealthy individual and building a business around helping police force escape from that kind of rat race as well. So I think there's some great lessons to be said. And one of those is if you can't see lots of people that you can talk to, who you can share views, go find yourself the community that will do that. And we're proud that, you know, Wealth Builders is the only place we know that deals with wealth holistically here in the UK and I guess everywhere else. It's difficult. Lots of places where you can talk about trading or property or one individual pillar. But I think it's rare that I don't think I've seen another organization that deals with all seven assets in one place.
Yeah. And one more point, I guess, which is important to mention, Kevin, is the fact about enjoying the journey. Now, this is embedded in our declaration as well. Our values is about enjoying the journey and sharing and helping others. And that's what Sam said, you know, it's your journey. Don't get too caught up on, you know, what other people are doing and saying. Just focus on your journey one step at a time. And he's now, you know, enjoying that and being able to kind of give back and help those who are perhaps a few steps, you know, further behind.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point he made. I think we see it a little in the program, don't we, to a certain extent, Chris, that sometimes those people who are more dynamic, have got maybe a bit more time, and they create kind of posts and they share and show what they've been doing. And others who perhaps just taking a little bit longer for all sorts of different reasons can sometimes feel like they've got themselves behind, and there's no race here. There's no front, back, middle peloton. You know, there's nothing. It's you have an outcome that you're trying to reach, financial independence, and that means something different to you. And how you get there is up to you and your family, and what you do about that is up to you. So Sam is absolutely quite right. There is no race. And what's good to know is, you know, that he's willing to share what he does, and he's invited us to the Isle of Wight, hasn't he, when circumstances allow, to to stay in some of his places up there, which I can't wait for that to happen when we can see people again, Chris. I'm so much looking forward to that.
Well, if you could have seen the video, actually, so head over to the Wealth Builders Facebook page or the free membership area, and you can see the video interview with the conversation with Sam. And honestly, he really looked in his element there with the sea glistening in the background. And just before we sign off today, Kevin, we're running a webinar and it's on the 4th of March. So depending when you're listening to this podcast, you may or may not still have time to register. But it's really just an opportunity for anyone who'd like to see exactly what kind of goes on inside our 7 Steps to Wealth program. You and I will be on there live and we'll be walking everyone through our 9-step roadmap and our process to help people begin generating recurring income from assets. So you can jump on there, register at wealthbuilders.co.uk/webinar, and it'd be really great to see you there.
Mm. And, you know, hopefully we can really debunk the challenges, the myths, the self-doubt and the excuses that people make for not really taking the steps to become financially independent. And I would say, look, on average, it takes, you know, 3 to 7 years. So if we say 5 years on average, you know, 5 years of a bit of hard work, a bit of effort, a bit of change of thinking, a little bit of investment of your time, energy and money, but it will change your life forever. You know, 60 months away for most people being completely independent of the need to work in their jobs or work in their business. And then if they choose to, well, that's just fantastic. It's a matter of all about personal choice. So tune in for that. You know, there's only two things to worry about. One is, you know, you can do a risk-free option now, which is don't show up. The other one is show up, because everything we do in Wealth Builders has got a risk-free guarantee anyway. So just show up, be curious, you know, and hopefully you'll see something that stimulates you to either come and work with us or do something on your own terms.
Yeah, that'd be really good. So wealthbuilders.co.uk/webinar. And just with the drilling in the background, it's time for us to sign off, I think, Kevin. So I've enjoyed speaking with you. Well done to Sam as well. And we'll be back again, same time, same place next week.
Okay, Chris, my friend. Until then, see ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.